This September, my YouTube channel will be 18 years old.
Holy God. Yeah. That is crazy.
Legal.
It'll be legal.
Sorry, Drake. Just playing.
I was watching the one with you interviewing Kazumi.
Yeah.
I was like, bro.
The naked episode? Or
The naked episode. The naked episode.
Yeah.
You was a freak back then, though, huh?
Still. I'm just married now, you know?
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the 9 for 9 podcast. I'm your host, Jason Kim.
Yes, sir.
Joined with my brother, Paulie.
What's good?
And then on my left, we got Megan Yu.
Hello.
And then on my right, we got Jennifer Lee.
Hi, everyone.
And today, you know, we got a very special guest. He goes by the name Tim Chantarongsu.
Oh, you killed that.
Did I say that?
We practiced that. That might be the best, introduction as far as pronunciation of.
Okay, we take that.
We'll gladly take that,
yes, sir. You know, also known as Timothy Delaghetto, you know, the one and only.
The one and only.
We really appreciate you coming on. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you for responding to our DM. It took a little while, but yo, we were so excited when you responded.
Well, thanks, guys. I'll be checking DMs. And I'm like, all right, well, let me show some love to the, you know, young Asian creators out there, you know. So I was like, all right, I'll pull up. And then I saw the clip with Dumb, and I was like, all right, Dumb did it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was your 4th of July weekend? Just passed? Or not weekend, but yeah, 4th of July.
4th of July was straight. You know, we got babies now, so
right.
We're pretty much in bed. I'm going to be looking this way a lot because my neck is like fucked
up.
I like slept wrong and then I like worked out too. It's all bad. Like from here to here, it's just all stupid. So I'm going to be right here.
Yeah,
4th of July weekend. Yeah. We got babies, so they're in bed by like 7:30 ideally, and you know, the fireworks don't really pop off until probably like 8, 9. So it's pretty much, you know, I had some homies over. We ordered some barbecue. Didn't even really like barbecue. Ordered some fire barbecue. Kicked it. Had the babies asleep by 8. And then, you know.
Family style.
Yeah. And then you just kind of check the baby monitor every couple minutes when the shits are going off to make sure they're not like waking up.
Yeah.
That was my night, man.
Yeah. Wow. How is that though, like family life? Because your second son is like really young, right?
Yeah. So my girl is 3. She's super smart. She's hilarious. My boy just turned 1 a couple months ago. He all right. No, I'm just playing. He's great too. You know, just started like really coming into his own, getting a little personality, smiling, laughing, shit like that. And it's fun, man. It's a lot. But it's great. It's great. It's a good time.
You gotta like see yourself in them a little bit, like.
Of course, yeah. My girl is crazy. My little girl, she's wild, and she definitely like she. I think they both laugh like me, you know, which is fun to see. And she cracks me up. They're both like, you know, I don't know what he's gonna like yet, but. I definitely see some of her in me. I see her mom's attitude in her. So, you know, it's fun, man. Don't have no babies yet, though. Take your time, guys. All right.
I want to ask you, what's the biggest difference between raising a son and a daughter now?
Oh, man. You know, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Okay, so, like, I thought I was going to be 100% girl dad. Like, I thought we were going to have all girls.
Okay.
And and I was all about it. Like, I loved being a girl dad.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, I don't do manly shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what you mean?
Like, I don't, like, when I had the baby girl, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I don't. You know, I don't be playing catch and shit like that. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I don't grow enough facial hair to fucking, like, oh, let's teach you how to shave, my boy. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it was kind of more my lane when I had baby girl. You know, I'm not what you would call like a manly man. You know what I'm saying?
You like to take care. Yeah.
You know, I'm a sensitive boy, but also, you know, like, did musicals in high school, shit like that, right?
Oh,
so,
okay.
And then not that manly men can't do musicals.
Right? that's
all a balance, you know? But so when I was talking to, you know, I'd be like, oh, baby girl, blah, blah, blah. And then when I realized we were having a boy, I was like, damn, how am I going to talk to this dude? You know, I didn't even know what to call him. Because I'd be like, oh, yeah, little mama, oh, baby girl.
Yeah.
And when I would talk to the boy when he was in the belly, I was like, what's up, my guy? what's good?
What's up, Jen?
Yeah, what's up, my dude? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, we figured it out.
Yeah.
Yo, I feel like everybody wants a son. I feel like you're the first person to kind of say, like, you want all daughters.
I mean, it was kind of something that people put into my head, too. Like, early on, because wifey said she wanted four kids.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, fuck it, fine, cool, let's do it. And then I just... I just, someone made a joke saying they're gonna be all girls, you know, because they're like, you know, the player's curse or whatever. I'm like, ha, whatever. Right. And then I had my daughter, and I was like, oh shit, I guess the curse is real. And then I had my boy, and I was like, huh, karma's not real. But, you know, I just, it was fun. It's all fun though, you know. But sure. You know, it's all like a learning process every day, because I didn't have siblings growing up, an only child. So like, even the whole concept of like siblings and sharing, that wasn't a part of my childhood, you know. I'm figuring it all out, you know.
Definitely seemed like a great dad though. I was watching your vlogs last night, and when you're playing with your children, you're like very like on camera. You act like how you would even if you weren't recording us.
Right,
like,
right,
very sweet and like kind, you know. The way you talk to them,
it's all for social media, it's fake. Okay. nah thanks, man. You know, I really I want to be there, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be like involved, like I want to be present. So and that's probably like the biggest struggle is like I really thrive off working and staying busy, but so it's hard to put my work aside because I really want to be around for the babies, you know. Like doing like entertainment shit and social media stuff, it's like a blessing because I can work from home, but I really I want to mentally be there with the babies too. Yeah. So it's like I kind of have to like shut off and get off socials if I can and just kind of focus on babies. So the struggle right now is figuring out how to get my work done and be dad.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But
what kind of work are you like doing now? Like, what are you trying to focus on?
Man, so what keeps me busy and what's paying the bills right now is like podcasting. Easy, fun stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to talk bullshit for a couple hours and like,
I agree,
you know, you get a little bit of money, a little bit of views. It's cool, right? But I'm really trying to like focus, and I've said this on a lot of podcasts. I say it on my own all the time. Like, I'm trying to write this movie for me and David So. And like writing movies hard, guys.
You're like 3 pages in, right?
I'm like 30 pages in.
Oh,
but I've been on that 30 pages for like a fucking year. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to find time to finish that up because I feel like, you know, now, you know, Asian people are finally really getting more opportunities in movies and stuff like that. And I'm trying to get in there, ride that wave while I still look young and shit. So
wait, is this a movie starring you and David So? It's like a comedy movie, huh?
First one, I got ideas for like weird stuff, but I really want to, I feel like Asian people need more stupid movies. Like, I love that we're telling more stories nowadays, but I feel like everything is so serious and like
low-key.
It's all like family trauma and stuff. I'm like, I get it, but can we just be dumb?
That's so true.
Because that's kind of like, I like dumb stuff too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, we need, like, I consume like more like sad, weird shit. But I like providing dumb stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like we need that in life, you know?
Is that kind of why you started your stand-up comedy recently?
Not really. That was kind of just kind of like for funsies. Because my homies were doing it. And I've always kind of been interested in dabbling in that. I've been like quietly jotting down jokes for like the past couple years, but I was really trying to focus more of my brain power into the script and stuff like that. So but my boy had an opportunity to do a couple shows, and I was like, all right, I'll see what's up with it. So we might be doing a show in Vegas actually in September.
Stand-up comedy is so, I think it's the hardest thing ever, to be honest. Which I love it. I love going to
you
shows.
Do it? Do you do it? You should do
no,
it.
No, I can do it. I can never. Maybe I'll be one of like the audience participants, you know? Something funny there, but that's
for
about
sure.
It.
How'd you do? I heard what's it called? Like, dumbfounded. Everybody doing kind of stand up now.
I know,
huh?
That's the thing too.
I'm like, isn't he in a movie too? Like,
I feel like everybody's doing that shit too. That's why I'm like, when they're like, you should do it, I'm like, another fucking social media person doing stand up, I'm like, you know, I'm kinda like, I'm cool, man. Like, rather not. Like, it's fun. It was good. I got my laughs. The blessing of doing the homies show was that like it was mainly his audience, my boy Super Ego. Mm-hmm. So, me and his fans have a lot of crossover. So they kind of knew me already, which is like, I feel like it's a cheat code when you're doing stand up. Like, I'd want to be famous. I'd want to be funny to people that don't know me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the fact that they did know me, it was kind of like an easier little light crowd. So they were nicer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, but I was able to like try out some jokes that didn't work the first time, and then we did a second show and I was able to tweak it and stuff, and that's what they all do. But that was my first time really trying it out, you know. Yeah. It gets easier every time, but like I said, you know, I'm trying to focus on this fucking movie, man. So
yeah. What's the timeline on that?
Yeah.
When are you gonna finish that?
So if you talk to David Soul, he'll tell you it's never getting done. I'm like heavy procrastinator, ADHD type shit. Like, like actually legit diagnosed too. Oh, like, no, I'm not really just talking that ADHD shit. I'm like, I talked to a whole professional.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, for real.
So okay. Here, let me tell y'all that story, man. Because I wasn't sure if so here's why I went to go get tested for ADHD. Because one of my, a homie of mine, he one day was like, yo, man, I want to apologize to you because I just got diagnosed with ADHD. And I feel like in the past, I might have like been weird in certain situations. And I never really thought about it. But, you know, he started telling me his story. And he was like, you know, people would accuse me of not caring about things, but I would just like forget, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
And that was like, that kind of resonated with me because I remember growing up and just like my mom telling me to do shit or other people telling me to do shit and I would just forget. And they would always say, you know, no, if you cared about it, you would have done it. And I'm like, no, I don't, I care. Yeah, I don't want to forget. Yeah. I just, forget. I'm sorry, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So and then I had this meeting with this lady, it was via Zoom, but she was, you know, professional, diagnoser lady. Yeah. and I really and here's the thing, I didn't want to feel like I was purposely being ADHD so she could diagnose me, so yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna focus on this shit, right?
Yeah,
and I already kind of have trouble focusing on Zoom calls, but I was like, I'm gonna like focus, right? So I put the computer mouse right on her nose and I stared at it the whole time. And then but I was getting a little fidgety, and immediately she was like, you know, I'm already seeing some signs, but
no way.
And then
I'm so fidgety too, though.
And that's the thing, right? So I'm talking to her, and then, and I wasn't even trying to be funny. I was like, okay, I promise you, I'm not trying to be funny right now. What did you just say?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? You're in the right place, my friend.
No.
So she's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I can confidently say you're like ADHD, and also
What? Yeah. Over a Zoom call?
Over a Zoom call? Yeah.
No.
Like, this is like a
no.
recent discovery.
This too, was like a year and a half ago.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
She's like, I can confidently say you're ADHD, and also what do they call? They call it ADHD unattentive, which is just what they call ADD nowadays.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, yeah, man, you can get on the Ritalin if you want. I'll prescribe you. And I was just kind of like, well, for me, I really wanted to know so I could kind of take some steps to improving that part of my life. Because one of the main things was that, like, here's the thing, right? Me and my wife were kind of getting into little arguments because I would forget to flush my poops, all right?
No.
So,
no way, are you serious?
Yeah, no, I swear.
Okay.
I'm not even joking right now. Like, sometimes she'd come home, she'd be pissed. She's like, bang, you did it again. I'm sorry.
And, like, I left you a present.
Yeah, so a little treat for you, right? But then I Googled it, and that is something some ADHD people do, because, like, where it's like you get so distracted, you tend to leave a mess, as opposed to, like, where ADD, you know, people with, like, I don't know, OCD or something, they're always trying to clean shit up.
Right.
And it's like, and here's the thing, man, sometimes, you know, I'm like, I'm pooping, and then fucking my mind is just everywhere. I'm scrolling, and that's the thing, right? I'm scrolling.
You're definitely and then, scrolling. Definitely
yeah,
scrolling.
I'm scrolling, and then and then I'm like, and here's the thing. I'm so focused on making sure like my butthole is super clean, right?
Okay.
So I like super dry wipe, and then I super wet wipe.
No,
I'm like all the way, and then I dry wipe again after the wet wipes. So in this whole process, and here's the thing too. I also close the lid to make sure, because you know, like they say, close the lid
so
particles
don't
get everywhere. So I dry wipe, I wet wipe, I dry wipe again, right? Dry wipes in the toilet, close the lid, wet wipes in the little waste receptacle. Right. And then at this point now, I'm so...
You're like, you're boom, I'm done.
Exactly. I'm so deep into the process. And then lid's down, so I don't see the poop. So the lid's down. I'm like focused on my asshole. I'm cleaning that shit. And I'm also like watching a YouTube video or scrolling through social media, right? So like my...
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Washing my hands and shit. Motioning my hands. Yeah. And then I'm out. You know what I'm saying? After all that.
Lotion?
Yeah. Lotion after you wash your hands.
Wait, why do you dry wipe first?
Because I don't go straight to the wet wipes. I use toilet paper.
Yeah. Okay.
Toilet paper, then wet wipes.
And then you wet it, and then you dry it?
No, wet wipes, in the little package.
Yeah.
So dry toilet paper, wet wipes, if you know how sometimes the wet wipes be too wet, you got to do it.
You got to dry down a little bit.
So then it's just like, so then I was like, man, what the fuck? Why would I do this? Because I had to tell her, I'm like, baby, I'm not doing this shit. I don't want to leave shit in the toilet. I'm not trying to piss you off, right? And then so I got my diagnosis, and she's like, part of her was like, you're just using this as an excuse. I'm like, an excuse to do what? Leave poop in the toilet? it's a kink? I don't want to do this shit. So it just kind of provided a little clarity as to why I might not be able to focus sometimes, you know?
No, I totally get that. My brother might need to see that lady too. He'd be leaving his poop in the toilet.
Hey, girl, look, it's a thing, man. It's a thing.
That's crazy, though.
But say all that to say, yes, it's taking me a while to finish the script.
I was like, wait, what were we talking about?
Can
I get a little summary of what the movies are gonna be about?
Yeah, without saying too much, I'm trying to do maybe a new age Harold and Kumar for me and David.
Yo.
We're brothers, and we're trying to save our family's restaurant. That's what it is.
So
we gotta take
fun.
A little road trip and go on a special mission to handle some business.
Okay, I see.
That sounds fire.
You casting any notable people for some side roles, or just you and David is the?
Me and David are the mains, and then for all my other parts, I'm just kind of writing parts for YouTube homies, other people who I think will be good for it. Whoever's down to work cheap, because if the script doesn't sell, then I gotta just do a guerrilla style and crowdfund and. Put on Tubi or some shit, we'll see what happens. But that's
the main
goal.
Looking for a couple young troublemakers,
I'll let you guys know, bro.
I'll be the cashier.
I'll let y'all know, cause look, all my homies are getting old. So if I need younger people, I'll hit y'all up.
Good. Yeah. I wanted to go back to the beginning when we were talking about how you switched your stage name to your real name.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, now that you have done that, do you kind of wish you started out with Chantarongsu instead of Delegato?
I mean, you know what? Oh, man, no one's really asked me that before. Sometimes. Because Timothy Delegato was definitely a good, it was catchy, rememberable, it's catchy.
That was the thing to do as well at that time on YouTube and stuff. I feel like everyone had
a fun name, exactly. And I think that for me, for the people who knew it was from The Fresh Prince, because it's from The Fresh Prince, for the people who knew, it was kind of I relate to this, I connect to this. And then as I got older and did it more and used the name more and people didn't know what it was from, for me, a part of it was, I realized, I want to use my real name. I want to embrace my long last name and be like, hey, Asian people, it's okay to use your real last names be proud of your weird last names, right? And also with social media, the people that didn't know it was from The Fresh Prince, people heard De La Ghetto and they thought I already get hit with the appropriation stuff, but they were why are you trying to claim the ghetto for? Even though I did grow up in a part of Long Beach that was considered the ghetto, but that wasn't what it was about. It was from The Fresh Prince, let me just reset, because I changed it during the pandemic, and I was like, let me just reset, start using my real last name. I don't really have regrets about the name or anything, really. I feel like everything is kind of, a learning process, and everything happens for a reason. So, I'm still, there are still people too who are like, nah, bro, you're Timothy De La Ghetto. I don't care. That's fine. Yeah. That's cool.
Do you get kind of annoyed when people refer to you as Delegato?
It's like, sure. I get it. I don't mind, because it wasn't something that it wasn't nah, I'm a new man now, I'm different, I'm not that anymore. I'm still the same person, I just changed the name,
I never thought about that. You probably did get a lot of hate because you were the only Asian person on the Wild and Out stage. Who's this guy trying to be
Wild and Out, it was all love on Wild 'N Out from the cast members. For people that watched, sometimes it was like, who is this guy, right? And why is he calling himself De La Ghetto, you know? There was some of that here and there from, like, the occasional Twitter user. But for me, I was just like, you know what? I'm just, like I said, the older I got and the younger people got, the fewer people knew that it was from The Fresh Prince. And, you know, I was ready to, like, just really be Tim Chantharongsu on stage. Because in my head, I'm like, if I see myself getting to where I want to get, like, do I want to be accepting, like, awards as Timothy De La Ghetto, as this, like, little silly YouTube name I made
up,
you know?
That's so true.
Yeah, because in my head, I'm like, I'll do, like, 50 Cent did and do, like, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, you know what I'm saying? I was like, for a while, I'll just be Tim De La Ghetto, Chantharongsu, and then eventually phase it out. But then pandemic happened, and I was like, man, if I die today, do I want to be remembered as Timothy De La Ghetto? I'm like, nah, Tim Chantharongsu, you know? So, yeah. Okay. Did it. Just ripped the Band-Aid off.
I watched,
you know,
so much Wild 'N Out when I was younger. I remember you with the Henny bottle in your hand. How was your experience with, like, working on a TV set like that?
Man, working on TV was great because, you know, if you watch, like, my YouTube stuff from the beginning, I always said, like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be on TV, I'm going to be in movies, this and that. So for me, it was very, a validating thing. So I could be like, I told you, motherfuckers, everybody that was hating on me said I would never get on TV, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, I was on a show where I was, like, rapping, I wasn't doing anything, like, stereotypical, you know, I was the token Asian dude on an all-black cast. It was just like, it was a nice, like, I told you so, and it kind of also, I feel like, legitimized what I did, because when I first started, a lot of people kind of looked down on, like, the internet person, you know? It's different now, you know? I feel like it has a little more legitimacy to it. And Hollywood kind of realizes that you need that, like, that internet aspect, that social media aspect. But for me, when I was doing the show, I was able to get on, and people were like, oh, okay, he's not just, like, YouTube dude anymore. You know, he's like, oh, okay, he's on the show, and he's actually, like, he does well, you know? So, and it was just, you know, and it was fun. It was a super fun experience. It was all love. I got to just, like, you know, get drunk and fuck around with people for an hour or two and, you know, rap and make jokes. It was great.
Did you ever get nervous about, like, if your jokes would hit or if, like, the rap? Because, like, I know you have to come up with it on the spot pretty much, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, I tell people like this, you know, because they always ask, like, yo, how did that shit scripted, right? But here's the thing. It's not scripted, but it's like this. We play the same 4 to 6 games every episode.
Yeah. Right.
So, of course, you might be in the shower one day and be like, ah, that's a good joke for that game. So you kind of have it in your back pocket, know? So then when we play the game, you're able to, like, say it, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, sometimes, or, like, when we do the, like, little rap battle parts at the end, I know they're going to say, like, 1 out of 5 things to me, like, Lil Dick, bad driver, fucking eating dog. It was always the same, like, 4 jokes. So, of course, I got rebuttals for that. I've been clapping back to those jokes since junior high, you know?
Literally.
So, what was the original question?
Was it like, did you get nervous?
I don't get nervous when I'm on stage. I always get nervous right before for whatever I'm doing, you know? So it's always like I get very, like, I pace and shit and, like, you know, take a couple shots and and then I get very hyped. I get very nervous and I get very hyped, and then when I'm on stage, I'm fine.
It's good, I love being on stage. It's so
fun. What do you do?
I used to dance.
Oh, fun.
So I would get the exact same thing. I'd be so nervous. Like, I remember, like, sometimes I'd, like, have to leave the theater and just, like, scream outside and come back in, and you feel so much better.
But then
once you're on stage, you see the lights. You can't even see the people out there. You just see the lights in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like dancing.
Damn, I'll be getting hella nervous. I'm not like that. Yeah, I was a little nervous today, I'm not gonna lie.
Bro, I'll be nervous too. It's okay. I think that's healthy. You know?
No, it makes me because
you were actually up there with some, like, real rappers, man.
Yeah, what you trying to say? What you trying to say?
No, he was a real rapper. Oh, wow.
Yo, you gotta retract. Wow. You gotta retract that one.
Nah, some, like, notable.
I get it.
Yeah, like, yo. I saw, like, Rick Ross up there one time. Who's that one guy with the 6 on his hat?
Oh, Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, Chance the Rapper was so nice. He's probably the nicest guest. Like, he was one of the guests that, like, because sometimes they come on and they talk to Nick mainly, and sometimes they'll talk to whoever's right next to them, but they don't really go out of their way to talk to the rest of the cast. Chance, like, went up to me and dapped me up, was like, hey man, you're funny, blah blah blah. I was like, oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, yeah, it was great. And that was just a fun, really fun episode for me especially. Yeah, just a good time.
Okay. Well, you go ahead.
No, I was just gonna ask. I mean, I feel like you probably already answered this, but yeah. Like, how did you even get your role on Wild 'N Out?
Yeah, let me tell you. So I have been doing my YouTube thing for a few years, and somebody on Twitter was like, yo, Nick Cannon's bringing Wild 'N Out back, you should audition. I was like, oh shit, because I remember being younger and seeing Wild 'N Out, like the OG, because the Wild 'N Out I was on was actually like the reboot of it. And
wait, can I ask how old were you when you were on Wild 'N Out?
Shit, girl, don't worry about all that. So when I was on, it was the reboot of it. It was on, and then it went away for some years, and then it came back. They brought it back, right? And so I remember watching it when I was younger and being like, man, I would kill this show, only because it was like jokes and raps, you know. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is so fun. So when someone told me Nick Cannon was bringing it out, I followed him on Twitter, and then one day he tweeted, who's the funniest person online? Whoever gets the most retweets of hashtag Wildin' Out needs me, I'll audition them personally. Wow. So I was like, oh, wow. Shit, okay. So I retweeted. I had my minions retweet that shit, right? And then someone DM'd me, and they were like, if you're serious about auditioning, contact this person. And then I also, through just internet stuff, this guy, Abe, that I knew, knew one of the producers who was also like, hey bro, he texted me, he's like, if you're serious, you know, I'll get you in the room, blah blah blah. Yeah, yeah. So it was like multiple things, and so I went to the audition, and it was like a room probably like this size. It was just a dark room this size, and like four people, and like Nick Cannon chilling. Oh, and then you introduce yourself, and he's like, all right, well, first thing, he's like, all right, rap.
What the hell? Just like that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I was like, you want me to freestyle or written stuff? He was like, whatever you want. I did both. And,
with a beat
No beat, just a cappella. Oh. And then they have you play some like improv games. And then they called me back for the group audition where you audition with some other people that would be on the show. And then like the next week, they're like, all right, you're on the show. And that was
fire.
It.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. Man.
What do you think like got you that role though? Like your freestyle or like?
I think both. I had a really good audition. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was able to, because I had some fire just stored in the back of my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can freestyle a bit too. So, I think a lot of the people that go on the show, they're not really, the freestyling part makes them a little nervous. Mm-hmm. And also like, you know, I mean, and they told me this too. It's like, I know they needed like a token Asian, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to hear some crazy shit?
Yeah.
So, it came down to me and Dumb basically.
What?
Yeah. Cause Dumb auditioned.
Wow.
And the producer, this cat Niall, he told me, he was like, you know, your boy Dumb, he messed up his freestyle. Like he fucked up the freestyle. And I was like, what? Cause that's like, that's Dumb's thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what, but you know, Dumb will say too, he's like, nah, you're better for that show, you know? And so I think like just the powers of the universe, and I, you know, maybe the universe fucked up his freestyle that day. You know what I'm saying? Cause, I guess he messed his up and I did well. And, so I got my little slot as a token Asian.
Yeah.
And I think, and they haven't been really able to replace me. You know what I'm saying?
They can.
Like, they had brought Jin on for a couple seasons, and Jin's great. But, you know, I think he's definitely, like, Jin's a talented rapper. But I think the comedian part, wasn't necessarily his thing.
Yeah.
And they'll tell me, because I'll pop in for a couple episodes here and there, because they did, like, the 20th season. So they wanted me to pop in for a couple episodes. And one of the producers, she's like, hey man, just so you know, like, if you ever want to come back, you can come back.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Open she's like, it. Nick kind of, cause we had like a mutual breakup, you know, me and Wild 'N Out. And she's like, you know, Nick always says he kind of regrets you not being on the show anymore. So if you ever want to come back, you can come back.
That must feel good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
I
cool.
saw
it's
online, cool. like, you know, people say that you got fired, and I heard that you know, like you kind of left, but like your producer like brought it up first. Like,
yeah. You know, I describe it like when you're dating somebody and you want to break up, but they haven't done anything bad, so you don't have a reason to break up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you're just kind of there.
Yeah.
Because I had been saying I was going to leave the show, because I did 6 years, 8 seasons. And
that's crazy long.
Yeah, it was a minute. Yeah. And so I remember, like, I was in the group chat with all the other Wild 'N Out dudes. I'm like, all right, y'all, this is my last one. This is my last one. They're like, you've been saying that for 3 years, whatever. Right? And then finally, 1 year, Niall, he texted me, or he's like, hey, man, can you got time to for a phone call? I was like, oh, I know what this is now. I know what this is, bro. And then he called me. He was like, yeah, you know, we might go in a different direction. I'm like, yeah, all good, all good. I'm right on the same page with you, man, all good. Mm-hmm. And that was that, you know?
Yeah.
I see.
The next chapter of things.
No, I was just gonna say, like, you just wanted to move on after 6 years, like.
Yeah, I just kind of got to a point where I felt like I had done as much as I could on the show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I said, there's only so much they can say to me. Right? And I feel like I had heard every joke and I had clapped back to every joke. And it was just, I was just feeling like, you know, maybe it's time to move on. I didn't want to be on Wild 'N Out forever. You know, I was trying to do movies and stuff. But when I do pop in, it's fun. Every time I pop in for another episode, I'll be like, maybe I could come back. You know what I mean?
It brings back good memories for sure.
Yeah, it's a good time. But but for me, I think, you know, it ended when it was supposed to end for me. And, you know, always just trying to just evolve and take it next level, you know?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Moving kind of past the Wild 'N Out stuff, I wanted to ask, how did it feel being in Drake's pop star music video? This is the biggest Drake fan right here.
Oh, word!
Yeah. No, bro,
It's been a tough couple weeks.
Bro!
But look, I defend Drake too. Through all the beef. Like, I mean, look, of course, I'm from LA, so I'm, you know, I'm a super Kendrick fan as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Before we get into the music video.
Yeah.
But I was on my podcast defending Drake too. I'm like, look, man,
okay,
nothing is proven. This is everybody's just talking shit.
You all need to hang out.
No. For me, it was like, there's no proof that Kendrick beats his wife. There's no proof that Drake is actually a pedophile.
It's all entertainment.
Yeah, but still, but they not like us. Come on in the club. I'm going crazy. I'm throwing up signs. I'm walking too. But yeah, the Drake video. That was super random. It was, I was at home chilling during the summer 1 year, and fucking King Batch texted me. He was like, what you doing Thursday? I was like, I don't know, what's good? He was like, do you want to come be part of my crew for a Drake music video? And I was like, yeah, all right. And then he was like, yeah, do you want to he was like, do you want to come with me and Bieber and be part of my crew for this like Drake video? I was like, yeah, sure. And that was it. I literally like pulled up and you know, they put some clothes on me and we danced around for the video.
Oh, they picked the fit you had on.
Yeah.
You were like sitting on like the red G wagon.
Yeah,
I think you're like, yeah.
Yeah, it was a vibe. It was a vibe.
Yeah, it was fun.
You didn't even get to meet Drake, huh? Because it was Justin Bieber.
Yeah, it was lip syncing all of Drake's parts. Yeah, right. So
even meeting Bieber is pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Bieber's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I met Bieber years ago. I've met him a couple times. Once at a random house party for a mutual friend. He was dating Selena Gomez at the time. And Selena was there. I was like, oh, my goodness, Selena. I love Selena Gomez, too.
Yeah,
I actually wrote a song about her a long-ass time ago.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Did it see the internet or no?
Yeah, you know, it went low-key viral. It was called Hey, Selena Gomez. It was a music video I wrote for her. And that shit was out when I met her. So, like, song was out, and people had been... People were tweeting at her like crazy. I think I don't think she liked it because she never replied.
But she knew about it.
She saw it.
But she for sure saw it.
She saw it.
I know someone who knew her that was like, yo, I showed it to her. And she was just kind of like, I guess she just said it was cute or whatever.
So
I was at this party and she was in line getting drinks. I was in line behind her and I just kind of just like, hey, and that was it. Got my drink. I didn't want to be weird. Like, hey, I wrote this song about you. I didn't want to do all that, right? But then, Bieber was there. We dapped it up, danced around a bit, and then I met him again on a skit shoot. And then so when I met him, when I saw him again at the Drake video, he was pretending like he remembered me. I don't know. It's hard to say because I meet a lot of people too, and I forget a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was, you know, just being nice, but nah, super nice guy. There was one moment specifically that kind of stands out to me when we were shooting that video. Like, we were on a break, and we're just eating pizza, like, chilling in this mansion they had rented out, which was, like, so crazy. And Bieber's just, he found a piano. He's just playing, like, he's just playing songs, and he's like, all right, guys, so what do you guys have any requests? Like, let's sing some songs, right? B was just chilling. Yeah. He's like playing Boyz II Men songs, and I'm like, this is so nice.
Oh, I'm fangirling so
Did
much.
He know who you were?
I think maybe after he had met me the second time when we were shooting the sketch.
Okay.
Maybe. It's hard to say because, like I said, man, he meets a lot of people, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know. Who knows? But it's not a lot of Asian dudes, like, in the scene like me.
Definitely,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
In the start of it, yeah.
Because
yeah,
even
yeah.
when I talked to Batch and we were talking about, like, him hitting me up for the video, because... Mm-hmm. Because I know the director, too. It's this guy named Lil X. And I'm like, and I know they wanted a diverse crew. And I'm like, bro, you know it's no other Asian dudes you can hit up. He was like, bro, literally nobody. Like, he's like, you're the Asian guy. I'm like, I know. So maybe, who knows? If I run into Bieber again, like, maybe he'll remember. Maybe not. I don't know, you know.
Okay.
But I met Drake once.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
I met Drake in Toronto. I was out there with the man dim trying to reach fam. And I was out there for another like a YouTube thing, and there was a big rap battle event going on that same weekend, King of the Dot shit, and Drake, I think he sponsored the event or something like that. So the hotel I was staying at, all the battle rappers were staying in, and I turned a corner because I'm cool with those guys. I turned a corner and it was Drake, and I was like, oh shit, and he gave me a dap like he knew me. It was one of these. It was like a what's up? I was
okay.
Like, oh, what's up?
Oh, he knows.
Yeah, okay. He knows. Because I'm like, this fool, he be watching YouTube videos.
Wait, was it before or after Wild 'N Out?
This was before.
Before Wild 'N Out.
So I think if he knew me, it was strictly off YouTube shit, you know?
Okay.
And that was it. I didn't want to press the issue. I didn't ask for no picture. I was just like, all right, man, nice to meet you. That was it, you know? So,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Keep it short and sweet.
Yeah.
I do remember he hosted that King of the Dot shit one time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wasn't Dumb on a he was. Battle rap thing too by Drake?
Drake shouted out Dumb for one of the, for that event he hosted, I think.
Oh, really?
Oh, was it that one?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Potentially. Possibly.
Shit. Were you battle rapping too?
Nah. I've never battle rapped. I got hit up. Like, people were interested in me potentially doing it, but it's too much to memorize, bro. Like, it's so because they rap for like, fuck, it's like 20 minutes.
Holy shit.
It's like so long, and I'm like, I don't know, I couldn't do it. Cause I have songs I've been performing for like 10 years that I still like fuck up on, you know what I'm saying? I still forget lyrics too. So
yeah.
I had to get to a point where I'd be doing shows and I'm like, just so y'all know, I'm gonna forget some stuff. So don't be mad. All right.
Well, dude, I want to take it back because I feel like we all grew up watching you on YouTube.
For sure.
Like, I feel like the first video I ever saw you was like you and Danny Rio. Like, What Women Think, What Men Think. You remember that video?
Yeah, that
went crazy.
That was one of my most viral videos. Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, like, how did you even get your start? Like, what made you even start YouTube, do the sketches?
Yeah, man. Like I said, I always wanted to do entertainment. I always wanted to be in TV, movies, all that stuff, right? I wanted to be the Asian Will Smith, you know what I'm saying? That was always my goal, right? Aside from the slapping. So early on, like, I had got like an agent and stuff. I was trying to go about it like the proper way. But that, you know, there was really nothing for Asian dudes back then.
Yeah.
Like, the most I got, like, I was an extra in Tokyo Drift. Like, that's...
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm in, like, the background of a couple scenes, you know? But, and so me and my boys in high school, we used to make these little short comedy movies, like 5-15 minutes long. And this was before YouTube, though. So, damn, let me not date myself, but... And so we had one that went low-key viral by our standards. It was called Jason versus Gumby. A little stupid-ass 20-minute movie we did that we actually, like, showed in our high school and stuff. And when he put it on his website, it was getting spread around. And then his website ran out of bandwidth because it was getting so many hits. And I was on – bless you. I was on – MySpace one day. It's a website. MySpace is a website that I was on MySpace one day and someone posted a bulletin. It was like, haha, look at these white girls dancing to Laffy Taffy or whatever, right? And I clicked the video and it was funny, but I was like, yo, this is a — and it took me to a YouTube video, right? And I'm like, yo, this is a website where anybody can put any video like from their phone and put it on this website and it'll give you a code for your MySpace. This is crazy, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I hit my boy and I was like, hey, bro, you should just put your movies on this website so you don't have to worry about your bandwidth. And then I started just uploading bullshit from my webcam, like freestyle videos and just me being goofy, doing impressions, mm-hmm. strictly for my MySpace friends, just to make people laugh, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
But then I thought this might be a way to maybe get my face out there.
Yeah.
So I put up freestyles and I would like put in the tags like Gen106 and Park Freestyle, shit like that. So I kind of, people would find it, you know, because this was like so early on. And then as I began to get little hits, I thought, damn, this might be something, you know. So I kept uploading, and then you know, there weren't a lot of people creating videos back then,
yeah, mm-hmm.
especially like Asian people. So I think, and especially Asian dudes that were like rapping and like, you know, just, you know, doing what I was doing. So I think I kind of just was you know, people were like, oh shit, this is Asian people were like, oh shit, this is what is this, who's this
yeah,
guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it just started to spread, and then it eventually got to a point where I was like, oh shit, I can make a little money off this. This is crazy.
Right.
And I just stuck with it, stayed consistent, you know. I probably, you know, I think I averaged it out one day and I'm like, I've probably put up a video, at least one video a week on average for like the past, like, it's been 18 years.
Wow.
This September, my YouTube channel will be 18 years old.
Holy God. Yeah. That is crazy.
Legal.
Legal.
Sorry, Drake. Just playing. Sorry, Drake. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. That was just, I had to do that. Low hanging fruit. I know.
Damn.
Oh my God. 18 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. When you first started YouTube, did you ever think it was gonna get this big?
Like popular.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I always knew that I would be doing what I was doing,
yeah,
but I didn't know that YouTube would be the vehicle.
Yeah.
I was just always trying to find a way to get my name out there, get my face out there, whether it was, you know, because before YouTube I was like putting raps on MySpace and shit, you know. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to find, I was like, what is the way, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then yeah, YouTube was a big part of it. So
yeah, so you were always like the comedian at school.
Yeah, I was like, you know, voted class clown and right. all that. And you prom king. Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
You were one of those kids.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If we all started YouTube when we were like 15, I feel like it could have been famous too.
Y'all could have had a little something.
Shit, man. Know, but 18 right? years of posting one video that's a week crazy, is crazy. Yeah. Consistency, like.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. That's what people have trouble with. I think consistency is tough for a lot of people.
For sure.
You know, a lot of people get discouraged if they don't get like the immediate views they thought definitely. They would get. Or
especially these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the whole clipping stuff.
Too, yeah.
What do you think of seeing like a bunch of younger Asians like us, like saying all this crazy stuff on camera and like.
Oh, it's beautiful, man. I love it. I love it because no one was doing that when I was coming up. Yeah. Like, there were no Asian people talking about just reckless activities back then. And that's one of the main reasons why I started talking about such crazy shit, you know, because a lot of people ask me, like, why are you always talking about your dick? You know, like, why are you talking about your dick all the time, right? And, like, for me, like, early on, you know, because there were a handful of Asian guys that were popping in the beginning with me, came up, right? Like Ryan Higa and Kev Jumba. Mm-hmm. But they still kind of had, like, the awkward Asian vibe. Like,
family-friendly.
Yeah, they're family-friendly, but like, hey, I don't know how to act around girls type shit, right? And that was never my experience, you know? Like, so I was like, I'm going to put it out there. Like, yo, look, Asian dudes, we be horny. And we be fucking too.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, and I wanted to put that out there to kind of, like, show people and just like the world that like there's, you know, different sides to Asian guys, and and that's why I kind of made it really like the forefront of my brand and what I was doing early on, because I felt like it was necessary, you know.
Yeah,
for sure.
That.
You're a pioneer of it, because I feel like now it's like mainstream, where it's almost kind of weird. Like, I'm like, there's so many damn Asians that are popping now, and like K-pop is so popular over here now. So it's definitely good to see.
We're on an Asian wave.
Yeah, definitely.
That Asian wave.
Still trying to ride it, you know what I'm saying?
We're gonna ride this shit out too.
good.
So you got two podcasts right now. Actually,
I do.
Dudes Behind the Foos.
Yeah.
You got No Chaser.
Mm-hmm. No Chaser.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I gotta say, like, your ability to like find like funny people is crazy. Like, thanks. You and Rick is a deadly combo. Like, thanks, I'm laughing, man, every time.
Thanks,
but
man.
But then you and David is like a completely different. But then it's like it meshes so well together too. Like,
yeah. Well, here's it's two very contradicting vibes, right? Even though it's like it's both good vibes, because you know Rick has been my best friend since like we were I was a junior in high school, so I've known him for so long. So our whole funny comes from like our stories together and the fact that we know each other so well and those conversations, right? Me and David, even though I've been filming content with that fool for some years now, there's still so much we don't really know about each other. Yeah. So it's a lot of like, wait, what? Really? For real? Wait, that's how you feel? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like it's totally different, but yeah, it's a good time. Those are my guys, my big boned guys, you know.
I wanted to ask you about No Chaser.
Yeah.
Because this is a genuine question. Because I was watching the one with you interviewing Kazumi.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, bro.
The naked episode?
The naked episode. The naked episode. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, like, how is your wife okay with you with you interviewing? Literally, she's naked. Like, literally.
Yeah. Okay. So I always get this question, even before the naked interview. Because you know, like I said, my content can be a little reckless, right? And when I was doing like crazy sketches and shit like that, I mean, I was doing crazy sketches before I met my wife, right? And when I made her officially my girl, I mean, she knew what my like brand of humor was and what I was kind of doing online. But after that, I specifically would always run scripts by her before we filmed a sketch that I thought might be a little crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I always tell people a couple different stories just to put in perspective of how like cool she was with it from the jump. Like when we were still long distance, and this is before we were even officially together, so I guess she couldn't really say anything necessarily. But
yeah,
picked her up from the airport. Had to work that day. I was filming a little sketch where I had to like kiss this girl. And so she was sitting. She was sitting there watching me kiss this girl like over and over and over again. Oh, this skit, and she was chilling. And I think her being there with like camera crew, sound people, being like, "All right, cut. All right, take. Let's do it again. That one was stupid. Do it again." Kind of helps you realize like, oh, this is just acting, right? It's like I'm not like gazing into her eyes after the camera cuts. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, all right, man. All right, your breath stank. Like, let's redo it. You know what I'm saying? It's a job. And then, when we were together for a while, like I said, I would always run the scripts by her, right? Mm-hmm. To make sure she approved, made sure nothing was too crazy for her. And one time Rick wrote a skit for his channel where the whole point of the skit was that like his girlfriend in the video was just doing too much in front of the homies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So like she was like way too comfortable, and she like there's a part in the script where this girl like bends over naked in front of me, and I'm just trying to play video games, right? And then, but it's his girl in the skit, so I sent the script to Chia. I was like, all right, baby, there's a skit. This girl bends over naked in front of me. Let me know if you have an issue with this. We can change it so that she's bending over in front of Rick, right? And she's my girl. And she was like, well, is this for your channel or Rick's channel? I'm like, Rick's channel. And she's like, okay, well, wouldn't it make more sense if it was bending over in front of you? And I was like, yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. She's so
gets it.
Yeah.
The only ever issue she had, because I used to shoot a lot of the sketches in my condo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we would film like the bedroom scenes with these different girls or whatever, I would film them in my bed. And at one point she was like, all right, look, man, you know, I don't care about the jokes and shit, but like, no more shit in our bed. She's like, that's our bed. You know what I'm saying? That's our intimate area.
Yeah.
So if you look, there's a point where it crosses over, and like any dirty scene I did was like on a couch or like I would like rent out a space. You know what I'm saying? As long as it wasn't our bed.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I would always run things by her, get her approval, because she knows it's all jokes. And then as far as Naked Kazumi goes, I told her.
Have you guys seen that?
No,
dude,
that's
seen
crazy,
bro. Bro, like imagine Megan just got naked and we ran the pod.
Literally.
So that was interesting because you know, so Kazumi does porn,
right?
And I was joking with Kazumi in text, and I was like, "All right, wear whatever you want," like, because I know that she's done interviews where someone would ask her to wear something revealing because she's talking about her experience doing sex work or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wear whatever you want. I don't care if you wear a three-piece suit. I don't care if you want to be naked. It's whatever. She was like, LOL, oh my God, should I be naked? And I was like, LOL, you down? So we're running this idea. And so I just told Chia, like, straight up. I'm like, yo, we had a funny idea. Like, what if Kazumi just randomly gets naked? And she was like, all right, whatever.
So, wow, yeah.
Wait, was it like she walked on naked?
So here's what happened. Let me tell you. It's so silly because Kazumi fucked the joke up. The whole point was supposed to be that she randomly gets naked and we carry on the conversation. Don't acknowledge it. Don't pay attention to it. Never even talk about it, right?
Oh, that would have been
and
funny.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah,
was the
yeah.
funny part. Mm-hmm. And the cue to get naked was, oh, I like those shoes. What kind of shoes are those? So we're like 20 minutes into the interview and I'm like, oh, what kind of shoes are those? Her dumb ass was like, oh, should I get naked now? I'm like, no. Kazumi! You ruined a bit and you're making me sound creepy for trying to get me naked.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And you guys put on the glasses like you guys wouldn't look at this shit. Bro, Rick was so funny.
Yeah, we put on sunglasses like so we couldn't, you know, you couldn't see our eyes.
Oh my God.
She's silly.
I feel like she makes it comfortable, though. She's not being weird about her being naked on air. Yeah, you know?
I was just like, I don't know how you're doing that. And then you just carrying it on the pod, like, as if she's not naked.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You know, that's the funny
professional.
Of it. Yeah. It was just more funny than horny, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
right.
It's easy. It's all for the bit.
So let me ask you this. A lot of our audience has, like, dating-related questions. So for you and your marriage, like, what was, like, the biggest, like, keys for you to have, like, this long-lasting relationship?
Yeah, I mean, well, not only were we, like, has it been a long time? It was long distance for like 7 years.
Right.
You know
crazy.
What I'm saying? So as you can tell, just from what I've already told you, it's like communication is really important, especially in a long distance relationship, you know? And so I just kind of always wanted to make sure she was just comfortable and knew what I was doing and didn't feel like left out in the dark. Cause one issue that's popped up for me podcasting is that, you know, you share a lot of stories, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I've lived some life, you know what I'm saying? Like touring and shit like that. So every once in a while, a story would come up that she had never heard before, like where I was doing something with some girl or whatever. She'd be like, you never told me this. She's like, I know that's the past, but I don't like being surprised.
Right.
She's like, so make sure you just tell me before like the world knows about it. You know what I'm saying? So there would be times where I would say something on the podcast. I'm like, I'm not sure if I told her this. let me tell her this before it comes out on the podcast, you know? But then sometimes it's not fair because she forgets everything too. Sometimes it'd be a story I knew I told her. She's like, you never told me this. I'm like, yes, the fuck I did.
Dude, I feel that. Same with me and my girl. Like, she'll see a clip that we say of some story. And she's like, you never told me this story. I swear I did,
bro.
Yeah.
So there's that. So yeah, communication, and I think you kind of have to trust people or else you start to go crazy.
Yeah.
For the distance, you know, people would be like, you know, how do you know she's not doing nothing over there in Canada? Because it was like she was in Canada. And I just kind of looked at it like she's so smart. Like she could literally live 10 minutes away. And if she wanted to fuck some other dude, she could. So it's like I'm not going to stress myself about it, you know.
How'd you guys meet?
Well, we had a mutual friend that used to make YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that girl's videos first, thought she was funny, followed her on YouTube. And then we kind of became online homies, Facebook, YouTube. And then one day I was just kind of like 2 a.m., just bored going through people's profiles. And I was on that girl's profile going through her pictures. I'm like, yo, who's your sexy ass friend? She was like, oh, that's my girl Chia. I'm like, okay, well, that's a good one. You know what I'm saying? And they did a road trip to LA and the mutual friend was like, yo, we're gonna be in LA, can you know, like let's link, I want to shoot like a quick little video. I was like, all right, girl, cool. So I went, met up with them, and when I met Chia, I mean, she had a man at the time. So I always tell people it was funny because like I'm like trying to like, you know, fucking, I got my fucking like
Mr. Steel
trying to, you know, like, all right, let me charm her right now, right?
Yeah.
But then when I met her, she was on her phone. And she was so, I mean, she's so loyal, right? Because she had a man. I literally was like, hey, Tim, nice to meet you. And she was like, hey, nice to meet you.
Oh.
I went back to her shit. I was like, all right, cool. Carry on, cool. But then a few months later, she messaged me on Facebook. And she was like, hey. And I was like, that's peculiar. So I texted our mutual. And I was like, yo, Chia just messaged me on Facebook, and the homegirl was like, oh, she's single now. And I was like, ooh, let's go. So I'm in there because my message game is, oh, if you think I'm charming in person, oh, you got to read my messages.
I need to learn. I'm so terrible.
So, you know, we just chatted on Facebook for like a bit. And then I had a show in Toronto. She had family in Toronto. So we linked up and kicked it. And then, you know, I just started flying back and forth ever since. Wow. And then made it official after like a year of flying back and forth. We were long distance for like 7 years.
Yeah. That's really difficult. Impressive.
Yeah.
That's
then I proposed crazy. And we've been married for like, 6 years.
6 years. Yeah. Wow.
I kind of wanted to ask you also about back in your younger days when you were single, mm-hmm. I heard that you could drink a lot like crazy.
Yeah.
Because you were touring, just drinking at all these different cities and stuff like that. So I wanted to ask, at your peak, how many shots are we talking about to get you drunk? Or you just wouldn't even get drunk?
Man, at my peak?
Yeah.
I can't even give you like a count, but I remember being at like a sorority frat party and some dude just coming up to me, big dude, being like, bro, you're a fucking tank. You're a tank, man.
Yeah.
You're a fucking tank, dude. You're a little guy. You're such a tank.
Oh, so you've always just been able to drink a lot?
Yeah, I think I built up the tolerance from the touring days because, you know, when you go on tour, and especially when you're in like smaller cities, everyone's like, let me show you how we do in fucking Des Moines, Iowa. So they want to like keep pouring you shots and shit. I think my body was like, I need to adjust or I'm just going to black out everywhere. And I just ended up building up a tolerance. But now, and I still feel like I have, like David will tell you that my tolerance is crazy because he's a big dude, right? Uh-huh. And he'll tell you specifically about one time we were filming in Pittsburgh and literally just for what we were filming, just for the bit, like we downed like 3 or 4 drinks mad fast just to be funny. And this fool was like, went to the hotel, crashed out. But I was chilling, you know? Yeah. Went to dinner that night. He was like, how? He stumbled into my room later, like ate my leftover burrito and shit. He was like, how are you okay right now? So he's like constantly in awe of how much I can drink. Mm-hmm. But as I get older, something happens to me now where like, you know, back in the day, I could feel the progression of my drunkenness, and I could pinpoint like, okay, that shot did it. This is where, you know, I was gone. Mm-hmm. But now what happens is I'll be drinking, taking shots, and I'm like, I'm chilling, I'm great. And then all of a sudden I wake up naked in my bed, and I'm like, what the fuck? When did this? How? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So now it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if like my body processes it differently, my brain processes it differently. But now it's like all of a sudden it's like 0 to 100, and now it's like I'm like, I don't know what did it. You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, man.
Like, now I also saw, like, you said you started the tequila wave in LA. Everyone's drinking tequila in LA now. I saw you said you started it.
I made a bold statement on Dumbfounded's podcast. Right?
Where that's bold.
It was bold. Some people will refute this, but I stand by this. Where you know, because everybody now, when you go to the club and you get a bottle, it's like everyone's like 1942 Clase Azul. Everyone's on the bougie tequilas, right? So I feel like before that, on the cusp of it going crazy, my boy Benji, when I was still a Henny boy, Benji was just, he was in a studio session with these guys called the Stereotypes, okay? And he said when he was in the studio, Stereotypes came up to him. He was like, "They was like, you still drinking that Henny? You don't know about this right here. It's that Clase Azul. You know what I'm saying?" And then he was like, "Oh, what's this?" And then so Benji put me on. He was like, "Yo, bro, check this shit out." So after that, I was like, "This is great. This is delicious. I love it." Right?
Yeah.
And it also kind of like reminded me. It had like, you know, like reminded me of the Henny that I loved. Right. And so I was pushing that shit heavy because I've been doing No Chaser for like 5 years now, right?
Yeah.
And I, like, we would always have a bottle on the table, ringing the bell, and a lot of people was hitting me like, yo, I had to try this shit because I saw it on your podcast. I don't know what this is, but I tried because I saw it on your podcast. And then all of a sudden, I feel like all of a sudden, the shit was sold out when I went to the liquor store. And everybody's ringing the bell on the stores. Everybody had the 1942, the Repo. Everyone knows what fucking Reposado is now. They didn't know about it back then. So I feel like I did that shit. Yeah. And a lot of people, and some people were in the comments in Dumb's Pod like, please. But other people were like, nah, Tim did that shit. Yeah. So I don't know, man.
Tim got motion like that.
Depends on who you ask. You know?
My hangovers these days, though, they're so. I can't. I feel like I can't drink like that anymore because my hangovers.
What should be not
so
no more?
How I can't. Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
Megan's a big vodka girl, but I swear every Asian girl is on Casamigos right now. Like, and
Reposado. That's the thing. That's the thing. It's like everybody's on it, you know? Yeah. I'm trying to bring back the brown, not gonna lie.
No, really? Brown gets you violent. I swear.
Oh, it does make the boys violent.
Yeah,
I swear.
It literally makes them violent.
Interesting.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have homies that is true for.
Right.
I was never a violent drunk. I was always just a horny boy, man.
Yeah.
But I'm bringing back the brown specifically because I might come out with my own little shit soon.
Oh, a little cognac or what?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm making a brandy because I thought yeah, cognac because Hennessy. I'm a henny boy. Mm-hmm. But then here's what I found out. Right? Is like. The only thing that differentiates a brandy from a cognac is that, like, to be called a cognac, you have to use very specific grapes from a specific part of France. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, brandy and cognac is the same shit.
Wait, what's brandy? What's brandy?
It's like dark. Yeah, it's another brown.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll literally taste pretty much like some cognac. You know, what I'm saying? It's just like the difference. She's like a little bit of whatever flavor notes you get out of there.
Yeah.
And this company hit me up and they asked me if I was down. And you know, of course, like everybody's making tequila. I was like, yeah, I drink a lot of tequila, but like everybody's making their own tequila right now. So I was like, let's do something different. And so yeah, look for that brandy coming your way potentially.
Ooh. Yeah, go check that shit out.
I can't drink dark liquor.
Weak.
Weak.
Do you believe in that? Like when people are like, "Yo, I can only drink like tequila. Like vodka will make me hungover." Like, do you believe in that?
I didn't believe it until, well, for one, when I started getting a little money and drinking top shelf shit, I was like, okay, certain things will make you feel worse than other things.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then when I got drunk off gin 2 times. I was like, I can never drink gin again because, okay, so the first time I really got fucked up off gin, I was filming with David So, we were shooting our food shit. We're at this, some food event, I forget where, but I was drinking the gin heavy and I started like spitting at the camera. I don't even know why. Like I would sip it and I would go like Triple H style at the camera and I spit on David's neck at some point. I thought it was the funniest shit, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, bro, I was reckless that day. I was just too drunk, right? And then like a year later, I was filming a drinking arts and crafts show with a homegirl. And she had gin as the main alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I got there late, so I'm like, let me catch up with you. So I'm like chugging gin. And I got so fucked up. But again, I was spitting at people. And I have never done that. Uh-huh. With anything else. So I'm like, yo, I cannot drink gin again because, like, this is not cute, you know? Like, it's rude. So I don't want to be that guy anymore.
Tim's going to start spinning if you...
It's gross. I'm like, I saw the footage. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. So, yeah.
What's drunk Tim like? I want to know.
Look,
he said horny.
Yeah,
horny and like I guess I'm kind of obnoxious, but if you're drinking with me, word is I'm hilarious. I'm a fun time.
Yeah,
but like to the sober people in my life, like Rick and my wife, they fucking hate me when I'm drunk. They think I'm so annoying.
Oh. Yeah.
Especially my wife, she feels like I'm just so annoying, and she says I snore more when I come home.
Dude, yeah, that's true. I snore so much. That's true. Drink a lot. Oh my goodness,
you get Asian glow.
No,
wow. You're blessed.
Oh,
yeah,
that's why.
Like, and none at all.
I gotta be very, 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 very drunk.
Oh, you get a little like slight hue on.
Yeah. Just a slight hue.
Slightest.
Yeah.
A little blush.
Yeah.
But we got 4 tomatoes over here.
Yeah, dude.
You know what a Pepcid is?
Of course.
Yo, I'll be taking that.
You gotta do it.
I know it's like terrible for you, and like, but it actually like helps.
No, my friends and I all know too now. They're like, "Megan, you take your Pepcid." I was like, "Yep, I'm ready to go."
You gotta do it. Mm-hmm. You gotta do it.
I want to know like. Some of your crazy party stories at all? Like, what's a good party that you went to?
Man,
sticks in your brain.
Party story. I'll tell you this, man. I've told this story on my shit, of course. I'm all out of stories now. People on my podcast complain because they're like, bro, we've heard this story already. I'm like, guys, I'm out the game. I have no more new stories.
You right? Be retelling stories?
Yeah.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Retelling stories is high key, like, a kind of a. What I do on my podcast. I start off all my stories now with like, y'all probably heard this before, but So I always tell this story as like peak drunk touring stage, mm-hmm. all right, where another, I was in Minneapolis, very drunk, like one of these, like where I black out. I black out a lot when I kind of hit that point, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And oh, yeah, we're twins over here. Yeah, it's this couch.
yeah, you know, and and this, and here's the thing too. I used to like, you know, this is pre-COVID, of course, you know. So when I would be drinking, I love just like just kissing people. I like just like kissing. I'd be like, you know, especially with like, I would just, if someone was like, yo, let's take a picture. I'm like, okay, cool, give me a kiss. So I just, and I would,
love.
Yeah, I just like kissing and making out with people. And so there was one night, and I had no idea this happened. I woke up the next day in my hotel room. This is after the club, after we performed, after drinking. I woke up in my bed. I was like, what happened last night, right? And I'm just kind of like stretching, and I'm like, there's panties in my bed. I'm like, whoo. Who is this? And then so then I'm like I'm tripping, like who what did I do last night, right? I'm like, I know I didn't smash because I feel like I would have remembered that. Now this is before I really understood myself as a blackout person. But like then I see a number on the counter. I was like, hey, nice meeting you last night, here's my number. I'm like, what the fuck?
What?
So then I like, I think she had her name, so I looked up her Facebook. I'm like, okay, she's cute, cool, whoever it was cute. And then I'm texting her, trying to get to the bottom of it. I'm like, and we're texting. I'm pretending like I remember everything.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
I'm like, yo, okay, glad you made it home safe, blah, blah, blah. It's good. It was good kicking it last night. And then, but I'm trying to figure out if I actually did anything. I'm like, LOL, too bad I was so drunk. Well, you know, we probably would have did something, right? She's like, what do you mean we had sex like 3 times? I was like, so then I'm in the text like, what? What are you, for real? She's like, oh my God, do you not remember? I'm like, I'm not going to, no, I don't remember. She's like, oh my God, I feel bad. I'm like, no, don't feel bad. I for sure like would have. You had full consent. I just don't remember. You know what I'm saying? And then, so I'm trying to figure out the whole story. And then I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I go downstairs. I run into my boy. He was like, bro, you were on one last night. I'm like, what the fuck happened? He's like, yo, so we left the club. Bunch of girls. He's like, we get to the hotel lobby. And my boy says, yo, who's trying to smash Tim tonight?
Oh my God.
And then puts me in the elevator with a couple girls. And this is what the story, I still don't remember any of this. Mm-hmm. I'm in the elevator and one girl's like, hey, I don't, you know, I just want to hang out. I don't want to do anything. I'm like, okay, good night. So then I guess I hooked up with this girl. And I to this day, like I barely remember. Mm-hmm. But that was my first time. I'm like, yo, okay. Like, because I didn't know you could get so blackout drunk that you completely forget your whole ass night. You know what I'm saying? That was the first time that officially happened to me. I was like, yo, this is crazy, you know?
Man, you got a gift, though. You can still fuck on, like, blackout.
No, I think the only reason she said we smashed, like, 3 times is because I probably kept getting soft and having to, like, take breaks and stuff, you know? Because for sure, yeah.
Whiskey, it wasn't, like, to completion.
Nah. I doubt it. Like I said, I don't remember.
You was a freak back then, though, huh?
Still. I'm married now, you know?
Let me ask you a silly question. What's the most expensive thing you could buy with your body count? If each body was $1, what could you buy?
We not going to answer that one. Oh.
Okay, yeah, nah. Do you care about that? You like body count? Your partner's body count. Do you care about that?
I don't. I think, I mean, I'm glad. I would be a hypocrite to care.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because she, you know, bless her soul. She was like, all right, well, okay, moving on. You know what I'm saying? But not going to lie, even for me as a, you know, when we first got together, you know, as a little, you know, young, dumbass dude, I was still, you know, her shit was so low, and I was still like, oh, really? Oh, you still talk to these dudes? What? You know what I'm saying? Like, all some stupid shit, you know? Yeah. Even though mine was, like, way more, I was also, like, people could have, like, oh, really? Like, so silly, you know? So for me, you know, like I said, I would be a hypocrite to say it matters, because really, like, as long as you're clean, then, like, nah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But you told her, though, your wife.
Oh, for sure. I wasn't trying to lie. I was like, look, I'm gonna just put it all out there. It is what it is, you know. I was traveling, I was touring. It was like at the height of like YouTube shit popping, and I happened to be traveling, and I happened to be touring and I happened to be openly single, you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, I was getting it in a little bit, you know. Yeah.
As you should.
Would you say it was like kind of hard transitioning from like, you know, like your big wild life into like married life now, or like is it kind of like something that's rewarding now that you did all of this? Do you have this?
Yeah, no, 100%. It's rewarding, and I wouldn't say it was difficult, because for me it was definitely like I knew she was different. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like from the first like really day that we like really spent time together, mm-hmm. and like hooked up and stuff, I was like, this is different. I text Rick immediately. I was like, hey bro, I love her. You know what I'm saying? Like just being silly, but also like, yeah, this is different.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, you know, we had our time just kind of like feeling things out before I officially made her my girl. But mm-hmm. You know, there was a point where you know, and I'll tell you this, like when we were first kind of talking, she knew I was still kind of like doing my thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we were long distance and shit. We were new. And I always tell people this is one of the stories of how I knew she was like different.
Yeah.
Just mentally. Cause she hit me one day. She was like, you know what? I'm not feeling it. Like you having these little situations on the side. She was like, look, man, like either it's either me or these groupies or whatever. You know, she's like, I don't feel like dealing with it anymore. And I was like, and I kind of was stressing a little bit because I knew I wasn't mentally ready for that.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of freshly single.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day she was like, you know what? I apologize. I take it back. And I was like, oh, word? She's like, yeah, you know what? I thought about it. It's not your fault that we're long distance. It's not your fault that you're fresh out of a relationship. She's like, if I pressure you into anything right now, it's just going to be bad for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, look, do what you got to do. And, you know, let me know when you're ready. And I was like, oh, my God. And she kind of like Jedi mind tricked me, because then I was like, oh, fuck, I got to lock this shit down. Because she's different. You know what I'm saying?
Reverse psychology.
Yeah. Damn. So then I was like,
might
all
have
right.
to use that.
Yeah. She's so understanding, though. That's actually crazy.
Or manipulative.
Mm. Or manipulative.
Either way. No. Yeah, but super understanding. That's the thing. I just felt like she had such perspective on it. I was like, okay, she's dope. And so shortly after, I was like, okay, be my girl, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah. Is it unique being in a relationship where it's like is it called a biracial relationship, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, is there any like thing that's different about being in something like that versus just, you know, dating another Asian person?
Yeah. I mean, not for me, because, you know, and people always ask me for advice on interracial dating,
but
like they're like, you know, what do I do with the family and stuff like that? And I'm like, I'm sorry guys, I have no answers for you with this. Cause her family is mad cool. I mean, she's the product of a biracial relationship, so it's like her parents aren't gonna be tripping on me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And even like just the different girls I've dated in the past, no one ever really took issue with my Asianness being out here. And you know, I'm coming from a really diverse area, so I don't think anybody. I never got like weird stares or anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, my ex is. Parents, I don't think they ever really liked me, but I don't know. I don't think it was because I was. I don't think it's because I was eight. Maybe her dad really wanted her to be with a Mexican dude. I don't know, but my wife's parents are dope. And the her whole family is super diverse. Like if you go to like a family barbecue, it's like black people, white people. There's like some Latinos in there, and there's me filling in the Asian, being the token Asian, just like on Wild 'N Out. You know what I'm saying? Just filling in my little, just getting in where I fit in all the time. You know? And so everybody, I've never really had any struggles with being in an interracial relationship. Mm-hmm. She will tell me though that like, because I have dated black girls in the past, so there are certain things that like I knew about that like her ex didn't know about. Because like, you know, sometimes like black girl hair specifically, like, like they can't just wash their hair all the time. You know what I'm saying? She said her ex, white dude, used to like take issue with it or make comments about it. I'm like, come on, and for me, I've dated black girls in the past, so I was,
you know.
I know how this shit works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, as far as dating a black girl, a half black girl, there were things that I just were easier for me going into it because of my past experiences.
Yeah.
But as far as troubles from society or family, nah. I get the occasional, like, I think in Vegas one time a dude was like, dang, where you get her? But that wasn't even nothing crazy.
Yeah, yeah,
I was out with a black girl one time, and you know, you'll get the occasional old dude that's like, he don't know what to do with that ass girl. he don't know what to do with all that.
He can't handle that.
Exactly. But other than that, no.
I want to know, like, did your parents say anything about, you know, like coming, like using social media and stuff like that?
Oh.
Going up, you know?
No, I think there was a point where my parents understood how valid it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Before it was like, I'm just being silly, just posting whatever online, you know what I'm saying? And then I always tell people the story where at first, my parents knew I was doing these videos, and you know how all your Asian parents, they brag to their Asian homies about what you're doing, right? They'll find anything to like brag about, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they used to tell their homies like, oh, you know, my son, like, you know, he's majoring in this and studying this, and then he does his little videos with his friends, right? And then one day when the shit was kind of popping and I was getting recognized, and they were like, you know, my son's famous on YouTube. I was like, oh, okay. They get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. That's what my parents say too now. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, she's on YouTube. She's on a podcast. I'm like, please, you guys.
Yeah. But embarrassing shit. I took my dad out for some food the other day for his birthday, and we went to a little Thai food spot. And I already kind of hear my mom talking to the owner, which was her homie, about like, oh, you know, Tim's been doing this. Like, he hosted something the other day, and she was trying to find the video on her phone. I was like, oh, God, I went to the bathroom, because I don't like being in the room when my videos are on. I feel awkward for me.
Same, right? For me. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Then I'm in the bathroom, and I hear the fucking theme song for No Chaser come on the TVs of the restaurant. Like, come on, bro. You couldn't pick, like, a funny video? It's me and Rick talking bullshit? I'm like, ugh. They're awkwardly eating my food while a podcast.
Y'all watching that?
Yeah, people don't give a fuck about my podcast. They're there trying to eat their Thai food. But yeah.
Wait, hold on. Let me get you some more water.
Bro. No. I'm full. No, I'm about to pee and I'm about to get out of here. So.
Okay. Well, I want to know like what your first impression of all four of us are.
Mm. Oh. You guys are great.
who do you think's the oldest out of us four?
Who do I think is the oldest?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, let me look at the fits.
Yeah, get the fits.
You.
No.
Oh, wow. Who's the youngest then?
Yeah, who's
okay, okay.
Who's the youngest then?
It's got to be, it's one of y'all.
Oh, it's one of us?
Yeah.
One of the guys?
Yeah.
She's kind of close.
Oh, kind of close. You gave it away. Her. No, you.
Youngest. Wait, so she's the youngest
and
oldest.
Oldest?
Oh, you have me switching my answers up.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch it up.
No, go with your gut. Go with your gut.
Oldest, youngest.
What?
Wow.
No way.
Wait, I'm honored.
Wow.
You literally got it the exact opposite.
Exactly. Fuck!
I'm the youngest.
It was the glasses.
Mm. Oh, it's always the glasses.
Yeah, always the glasses, yeah.
Always the glasses.
Dumb made a comment about the glasses.
she's the
oldest. I'm so happy.
Well, because sometimes I feel like going against my gut is wrong. So that's why I was like, okay, she's giving oldest energy right now because she's chilling. Maybe she's the youngest.
Oh. And then,
But yeah. Well, damn it.
Should we do a hot seat?
Hot seat?
Yeah.
Tim?
Yeah.
Well, we could.
Yeah, we could do a little hot seat.
Sure,
yeah.
If you want.
Would you be open to drinking if you don't answer?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
do you have
Do we have alcohol?
Okay.
No gin.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap up the episode, but you know how we do it. We got to do a hot seat for Tim right here.
We have to.
We got chamisu.
Yeah.
Right, I think we got like one question each. If you don't want to answer, just take a shot.
Yep. Sure. Very easy. Right.
Yeah, but we got some juicy questions lined up.
Okay.
I can ask the first question.
You want to go?
Yeah. I want to know who's the most famous person in your contacts.
Oh, that's a good ass question.
Dang, it's probably Nick Cannon.
Oh, okay. True. Yeah.
But that fool never responds to my text. Wayne Brady.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Damn. Okay, I have the next question for you. Do you think you're funnier than David?
So I think I'm funnier than David? Yeah.
Yo, shout out David, man.
For real.
You know, I mean, it depends on what kind of funny you like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Different strokes, different folks.
Do I make myself laugh more than David makes me laugh? Yeah.
That's that doesn't make sense. Okay. I can ask the next question. My question is, what's the one thing you regret the most that you've said or done on camera over the last 18 years?
Oh, that's a good ass question, too.
There's got to be a couple things.
For there's a couple things. Yeah. But fuck, I just take a shot instead of thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got a cute little shot glass for you today.
Sure.
A little soju action.
Let's get it.
That one is cute.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers.
They light.
Yeah.
I feel like you might need to take another shot for this one.
Oh,
but,
my God, really?
Yeah, but okay. So you got two podcasts.
Yeah, word.
Oh.
You got No Chaser.
Yeah.
You got Dudes Behind the Foods.
Yeah.
Which one do you have a better time filming?
Oh, Dudes Behind the Foods.
Oh, that was... Oh, that was... Wait, that was easy?
I joke about this all the time with Rick because, like, with Dudes, me and David, we bring food, we, like, drink. It's almost more of, like, bro time. Like, we don't even really are concerned about looking cute because it's only our top halves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we just come and fuck around. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No Chaser almost feels like, you know, we don't have serious conversations, but we do have, like, less goofy conversations. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's like, ugh, I don't feel like doing No Chaser today. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Even though both are a good time.
Right.
But Dudes is always, it feels more like I'm just kicking it with the homie. Yeah. And No Chaser almost feels like, okay, what topics should we get today? And what, blah, blah. It feels like just a little bit more like
a
work.
A little more work.
Yeah.
So, huh?
Okay. that was a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, before we end the pod, let me ask you one last thing. If there's one guest that you could help us potentially get onto our podcast in the future, who's someone that you think would be a good fit with us?
I don't know. Who do you want?
We are very open. It's hard to get in reach with a lot of people for us, but...
Bobby Lee.
Yeah, Bobby Lee. You know Bobby Lee.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't even had Bobby on my shit yet.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I don't know, man. Maybe David will pull up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm super down. He's too funny.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Right. But what do you got planned for, like, you know, the upcoming future? I know you got your two podcasts. You got your movie. Anything else?
Anything you want to shout out?
Yeah, man. Look for the movie. It'll get done eventually. Listen to both podcasts, No Chaser, Dudes Behind the Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Working on music, too.
It's
been a minute, but I'm trying to put out more music.
Yeah.
And who knows, man? Stay tuned.
You trying to get four kids? Two more kids coming?
I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see. Two was kind of crazy. When we were in the thick of it with two, I was like, we're done. That's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, now that we're on a little more of a schedule and baby girl's going to start school soon, it's like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you so much for coming
on.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was an honor. I feel like we literally all grew up watching you, and this is like a full circle. Oh, I actually want to say, we met you, too. You probably don't remember.
Where?
Yeah.
Dude, we had Violet Myers on our podcast once. So she invited us to the event with Soulja Boy.
Oh, shit.
And then, I dapped you up. I said legend, and I
that's great, bro.
And I know you don't remember. It's all good.
No,
it's
but that's beautiful. I like those interactions. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just real respect, nothing awkward. You know,
I didn't want to bore you with no story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Legend.
I appreciate the stories too. It's all good.
Yeah, but this is a good full circle moment.
Well, guess what? I remember, dude.
You remember me talking to you?
You remember Megan though?
And then I got the DM. I was like, finally, that fool from Violet's Party hit me up. Finally, to come be on the pod. Damn, took you long enough.
Damn, bro.
Well, yeah. Okay. It was an honor. Yep. Hope you had a fun time.
I did. Of course. Pour me another shot before I get out of here, man.
Oh, yeah.
Come on up, bro. Yeah. I got a wife and kids. I ain't got shit to do, bro. This is my only party right here, dog.
Okay.
You got another shot?
Yeah, shit.
I
kind
of want to take a shot. My boy here, man.
The boys can take one.
That's a shot. Cheers.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Yeah. Yes, sir. All right, hit him with the outro, baby. Well, I'm take this shot.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tim for coming on. All right, it was truly a blessing. Hopefully, you guys stay to the end of this week's episode. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Go check out all of Tim's socials, all right? And we're the 9 for 9 podcast, baby. Peace out.
Peace.